Amen. God gave me this strange message weeks ago. I think we were laying in bed watching TV, First Lady was talking about me again. Oh, you don't remember? Well, you do it every day, so. Okay, thank you, man. Amen. Today's message is called Unnecessary Roughness.
Oh, you so
dirty. Unnecessary roughness. Some of the things that God allows us to go through is absolutely seemingly unnecessary. You don't have to do it, Lord, to get my attention. I'm already praising you. I'm already worshiping you. And it gets rough. And sometimes you have to bind your own thoughts and your own ideas because they work against you. I don't know about you, but there's been lots of times I've just sat back after some stuff that went down and talked to God. And I've said to God, I said, you know what, Lord? I feel this is unnecessary. I don't feel like I need to be going through this to get where you want me to get. Y'all ain't never said that. My goodness. You almost let me get to death, then you heal me. Was that necessary? Who was it necessary for? When I think about some of this stuff, like this sinus situation I deal with, I told Lord, that ain't necessary. I'm going to serve you anyway. It's not going to make me get no closer to you. I call it unnecessary roughness. And then, when you think about what Jesus said, you actually see these things transpiring in your life. Look at Hosea. You can go there if you want to. The book of Hosea, the very first chapter. We don't read some. Let's read some of it. What God put him through. Was it necessary, Pastor Keys?
Yes.
You think Hosea thought it was necessary that God used him to show forth Israel? The first chapter, how many of y'all even know what Hosea is? Y'all better get y'all some computers so you can just hit it. You look awful gleamy this morning, Sister Nancy.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea. Hosea's name, first of all, means salvation. Well, I guess that might explain a lot of it because you represent what your name is. The son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in those days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. My gosh, come on, God, you kidding me, right? You want me to go find a whore and marry her? And to make it bad, and the children of whoredoms. Meaning she is awful. She is absolutely horrible. There ain't nothing under the sun, the moon, or any other thing that she ain't willing to do to make a dollar. And you want me, your prophet, I might just be one of the minor prophets, but your prophet, who you call, delivered, set free, a power above power. Now you want me to take this clean vessel that you made and go find me a whore and bring her back home with me. For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Lord, that's the land. That's the people. I didn't do it. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. She was horrible. Because it wasn't too long after that, she was back out there again. But you know what? God went through with him yet. How many feel like sometimes you go through things and you say to yourself, God, really? You're kidding me, right? But you know he ain't kidding, because here you find yourself right in the middle of it. But you, it kind of relieves some of the pressure off of you when you say, you're kidding me, right? You're not being for real. So she takes off. And then in the third chapter, the first verse, God said unto me, the Lord, then said the Lord unto me again, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. What? Lord, you know she an adulteress. You know if she cheating on him, she going to cheat on me. And you want me, after you put me through with Golem already, to go find me somebody else that's just as bad or worse. Because I know now she going to cheat right up under my nose. Lord, that's unnecessary roughness. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. Okay, Lord, I know the children of Israel are off the box. They're out the chain. So you're going to make me pay for it by sending me out there to find another woman. This one is beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. We know what that beloved of her friend means. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Oh, it's warm in here. I'm heating up. Thank you, sir. Look at your neighbor. Before you look at him, think about something that you're going through. Something that you're being tried by. Think about it. Now look at your neighbor and say, unnecessary roughness.
Unnecessary roughness.
Don't it seem like that? Lord, you can let this bypass me. I understand what Jesus said. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he had to turn around and say, well, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's what Hosea had to say. He had a son by the first woman. I don't remember recall they ever telling what his son's name was. Do you? So that shows you just how important his son being born by this prostitute meant. It meant nothing. Except for the fact that God had wanted him to prove himself by doing what was right. My goodness, it's hard to do what's right sometimes. Especially when everything is looking you right back in the face, telling you, man, you're wasting your time. It ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work. And then we keep trying and keep fighting, a good fight of faith. And then Jesus turns around and really sticks it to us. Go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Somewhere around the 34th verse. Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. He said, I didn't come to bring no peace. I said, wait a minute now. You're the Prince of Peace. How you not come to bring peace? I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Unnecessary roughness. Yes. Ooh, Lord, it gave me an itch. I'm trying to find a way to put this lady down so don't nobody get up and sock. How many folks in your household are unnecessarily rough? Me? I mean by that, they put you through some of the dumbest things. And if you give them half a chance, they'll quote you some scripture to say why they did it. And see, but somewhere in the Word it says, think it not strange, these fiery trials. But we think it's strange because we think it's totally unnecessary, Brother Andy. Lord, this is not necessary that I got to deal with this foolishness. It ain't necessary. Years ago, I told the Lord, I said, look here, Jesus. This stuff I'm dealing with, it ain't necessary. All you had to do was speak to me and with an audible word. I'm waiting on you to heal me, but I ain't heard a word from you. That's unnecessary. You're just being rough for no reason. Give me a clue that I'm going to be okay. He said, I did give you a clue. I said, what is it called? Faith. I said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm finding lacking that sometimes. I know it's in here. But sometimes it's hard to gravitate to because I'm still hurting. I still don't feel good. And the doctors don't seem to have a clue to what's going on. But you telling me, faith. I think that's unnecessary roughness. I need a word from you, Lord. And God says, I give you a word every day. That's why he said you have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not know. Be ashamed. That means you don't have to be ashamed when you deal with these unnecessarily rough things that you deal with. And you're going to deal with them. Bills due. No money in your pocket. Bank account empty. That's a necessary roughness, especially when God can move it out of somebody else's account and put it in there. How many folks don't testify how they know their bank account was empty and they just decided to check all of a sudden and they had a couple hundred dollars in the bank? You think the tellers put it there? So you said, unnecessary. You wake up in the morning, get out of bed, and your knee go pop, pop. Which starts your mind in a different pattern for the rest of the day. Now you're walking like this. Trying to keep from hearing it go pop, pop again. When God could just go. It's a done deal. Heal. You heal. Mind in a just going crazy from the struggles of life that you're dealing with at this time. And he's a Prince of Peace. Why do I have to deal with my family members? He said, because I said I'm going to put son against parent and parent against son. And all it really is the fact that God is saying that because of your love of me, somebody in your family don't love me the same way you love me.
Come on now. All right.
So there's going to be times in your life where they're not going to be happy with your life.
Break it down.
That's why he said, I come to bring a sword. The sword represents the word of God. Because the word of God is sharper than the two-edged
sword.
So you are a sword. So you will create situations in your household that seem to be unnecessary. Especially when God can heal, God can deliver, God can set free, God can do all these things. Lord, where are you? Amen. Pastor Keith, on his way home, sleep. Because he, why was he falling asleep? He's sick and got bed. And he had an accident. That seemed a little unnecessary. How many understand what I'm saying? When he said to himself, I should pull over, God could have said, pull over. But when he said to himself, I should pull over, there was no other voice saying, pull over, so he didn't pull over. I call it unnecessary. Where are you, Lord? How come you can't quicken and speak to me at the moment I need you to speak to me? But yet, my mother mad at me, my brother mad at me, my sister mad at me, and I don't have a clue what I did to him. How many been through that before? Now you're bending over backwards trying to make them happy, and it's only getting worse. Because God's word will not go void. It will always make itself known. Amen. So when my brothers was getting mad at me, I don't give a flying flip. What you gonna do? Rodney is mad at me all the time. Do I care, Rodney? Hang up on me. And block his calls. Because he don't call me back to give me a little bit of something. So I'm going to prevent that. Hey, Brother Jim. My goodness. Unnecessary roughness. Cut me some slack, Lord. Listen to me. Nothing can happen unless God allows it to happen or unless God makes it happen. Lord, why you let me be stupid concerning this situation? We get ourselves into stuff.
Yes, Lord. Yes, we do.
You know who love unnecessary roughness? The old man. He love unnecessary roughness because he could listen back laughing because he know you gonna pay for it. He's sitting back singing a song. Unnecessary roughness. Here we go. Now you hurt. You're broken up. You don't know which way to turn. Ain't got no money. My goodness. You know, you can almost do anything if you got some money. You can put up with the worst people if you got some money.
Amen.
You don't have no money, they better leave you alone. You don't want to hear nothing. You don't want to see nothing. Your back ain't got to be hurting. Your knees ain't got to be hurting. You can have a refrigerator full of food, gas full of car, and your gas in your car. But if you ain't got no money, it changes your whole outlook on things.
Amen.
I call that unnecessary roughness. Especially when God said, if we honor him with our tithe and our offering, he would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings in which we cannot contain. Unnecessary roughness ain't nothing in my pockets. Got to be more careful. Come on, Lord. Jesus just talking. He just telling. Then he goes on to say, a man's soul shall be the of his own household. You can have an argument with somebody in the street and keep it moving. You have an argument with somebody in your home. Oh, my God. They don't seem to want to go nowhere. They go to the store every day at 12 o'clock. This day, they don't want to go. You waiting on 12 o'clock. I know 12 o'clock. They going out to go to the store. 12:10, they still there. Now you say, Lord, what changed their mind? I need a break. And guess what? The Lord don't say nothing. That's unnecessary roughness. Man. Thank you, Brother Tony. When I was sick years ago, I just didn't see no way out, First Lady. All I knew to do was just keep doing what God called you to do. So I kept preaching. I take my treatment and I come preach. But all the time I'm asking God, I'm up here preaching your word and I'm sick as...
Yes.
I would think that you would touch my body while I'm preaching.
instead of letting me get so engaged and so caught up in this word that I'm teaching that I forget that I'm sick until after I'm done. Come on, Lord, unnecessary. Bowling. Don't even worry about it, Therese. I got you. When was that? That was Thursday night. Wasn't it? Front four. What did I leave? An 8 pin? Something? Then I 4 pin? Then I'll throw the next 4. All I gotta do is get a strike in the 10th, Fatima. And I'm gonna shut everybody down. Yep. I throw the cotton picking ball in the pocket. I didn't throw it in the pocket. Oh, you took That's unnecessary roughness. That's unnecessary roughness. Please don't get on back over there. Nevertheless, I don't make mistakes like that. And I just stood there and I could not believe it. I was sick about it. And I said to myself, Lord, I'm sitting there. And I'm watching folks throw it through the nose and strike. Miss the head pin altogether. And pins just tumble over. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, Lord, how come that couldn't happen to me? How come you couldn't give me a chance like that? I'm talking to God. Guess what he said? Nothing. Guess what my flesh was saying? You threw it. Maybe mad at my flesh, I would stop myself. I thought I would survive. You threw it. I know I threw it. But look at all those other folks. Look what they did. I call that unnecessary roughness. I'm hollering, bless me, Lord, bless me. Nothing, Brother John. End up shooting 250 something. They run me over 279. Now the rest of the night I'm suffering. Wishing I could have had that shot over, Mickey. How many times in life do we wish we had something over we could do over again? What you call a do-over?
A mulligan.
There you go. A mulligan. That's a chance to redo it. Because now you're thinking about all the unnecessary rough stuff you had to deal with because, my goodness. And Jesus, he spoke that word and it ain't no way around it, is it? And then he goes on to say, now this is the scary part. He that loveth mother, father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Come on, Jesus. You're not cutting me no slack now. You telling me that I don't have a right to love my mother and my father, whom I see if they're alive on a continual basis, more than you, whom I never see. He answered me that time. He said, nope. You better listen to the word, son. He that loveth, and actually it's talking about he that worship father and mother more than you worship me, or more than you give me praise. You always praising them, but you don't give me none.
Exactly.
See, we think that's unnecessary roughness. And he would put us in a position like that, that he requires us to love him whom we've never seen more than we love the people that we see. Y'all awful quiet in here today. I think I'm finna come out there. Tap some y'all on y'all shoulders. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Come on. Now, he got a point there. Yeah. Some of us worship our kids. Yeah. Mm. to the point they change our spiritual life. I can't say without those fakers. They streaming me. They grown now, ain't they, Fatima? I beat crap out of mine. Lord be my witness. And a lot of times I felt like, that's a necessary roughness. That's the look they gave me. Dad, this ain't even necessary. If you'd have given me two more chances, I'd just sat there. No. All these things God requires of us, which seems to be unnecessary for us to live this Christian walk and live this life the way God wants to. But they're requirements. That's His Word. And we can't choose what Word we want to live by and what Word we don't want to live by. And it gets rough sometimes trying to obey this Word. And you say to yourself, even Paul was talking about a necessary roughness. Lord, why have you sent Satan to buffet me? He got to a place that this is unnecessary. Look at Stephen, when they were stoning him to death. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And in the process, they stoned me. I think I could have went some other kind of way. I think on my knees being stoned to death is a little overkill. Unnecessary roughness. The things God require out of His people sometimes seems to be unnecessary. You know, Brother Littlejohn, he presses his way here to services. When he told me, he said, Pastor, when I get ready good enough to get to church, I'll be there, I'll see you. I was talking to God about Brother Littlejohn. I said, Lord, that's unnecessary. He's faithful already. He don't mind giving you the praise. Now he's singing and blessing your name, building stuff. Unnecessary roughness. When you could have just, with the wave of your hand, completely delivered him in his body. I got an answer from him this time.
Come
Sam.
On, Pastor. Come on now.
He said, I didn't heal you in your body. You had to go through.
Yeah. Amen.
Pastor Arnice had to go through. She walked around with that big belly, and folks thought she was pregnant, whispering in the unawares that she was pregnant. I knew she wasn't pregnant. Sherry knew she wasn't pregnant. But it didn't matter what we thought. I thought that was unnecessary roughness. But see, the thing about it is, our thoughts are not like His thoughts.
Amen.
So what we assume is unnecessary roughness, God sees it as you walking by faith.
Amen.
And not by sight.
Amen.
There's a lot of things we are getting ready to experience. Some of the stuff we've experienced already is nothing compared to some of the things we're about to go through.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just keeping it real with you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't care how much you pray, how many days you fast, how much you give. We're going to go through some stuff.
Amen.
And it's going to seem like unnecessary roughness. But God said, I give you faith to run this race.
Amen.
So what we deem unnecessary, when we go through with our family members, we deem that unnecessary. Especially with somebody you done grew up with and you almost raised them, and then they get mad because of the littlest thing and turn on you?
Yes.
But guess what? The Bible said that's going to happen. And I hate to say this, but God don't kill nobody. God don't take lives. But things happen in our lives that we create circumstances where we do lose people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Anything you worship more than God, it's a possibility it won't be around long. Because His Word said, I'll have no other gods before me. I know it seems like unnecessary roughness, don't it? Amen. But it is what it is. When you watch the news, a lot of times you see a lot of the, you see a the young people getting shot by drive-bys and all this kind of stuff going on. And you see that mother just crying and saying he was a good boy. He was a good boy at home. They were good kids at home. But to that mother, it's what? Unnecessary roughness. God, you didn't have to let this happen to him or her. Amen. Amen. So it said, variance, contention, make to be hostile, discard. But Pastor Keys taught me about effect. The word creates an effect. When we talked about the sword earlier, that God, that he said he was going to bring it to our lives, it's metonymy. It cause means cause. When the cause is put forth as an effect. So a lot of times we say, this is unnecessary roughness, but it's the cause that creates the effect that is unnecessary. Which means you just have to get through it. You say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. No, I say it because I had to do it. Let's look at Romans 12, 17. I'm about to close. But we got to be back tonight. No reaction. Oh, that's because he is bad. Oh, here you go. Troublemaker. Romans the 12th chapter. I guess I'm going to get to it. I even got it marked. The 12th chapter and the 17th verse. It tells us, or 15, I'm sorry. Where did it get to 17? 15, the 15th chapter. 15th chapter. I don't know where I got that from. Oh, I actually got two wrote down, but I want to do this one. 15, 1 through 4. Unnecessary roughness. When then, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. My goodness, I've been bearing your infirmities for a long time already. Ain't about time I get a break. Unnecessary roughness. And unnecessary. I done held you up so long, I done got tired. Infirmities, weaknesses, disabilities, and not to please ourselves. So he said, we don't have a right to please ourselves by kicking them folks off our backs. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, I'm not really liking that part right there. Especially if you've got some crazy neighbors.
Amen.
And we seem to keep them. One set move out, another set move in. I said, look, Lord, this is unnecessary. Let somebody move in here who's peaceful.
Yes.
He answers me by moving that group out and moving another group. When the last guy, y'all told the story, we had two families move in last summer. One on the corner and one in the third house. It was unnecessary. It was just, I can't even begin to explain it. I had to rebuke my flesh. My flesh just wanted to take a gun and go out there and just light them up. I had to rebuke my flesh. Ask my wife. Because some of the stuff they were doing was absolutely ridiculous. I kept hollering, God, this is unnecessary. You letting me be roughed out unnecessarily when you could take care of this? When I decided to keep my big mouth shut, I get home one day and both houses gone. I say, how did they manage that? I mean, they were both gone. And them houses been empty all winter. It ain't the winter time, I don't mind. It's the summer. Unnecessary roughness. Things we deal with in the name of the Lord. And the stuff we put up with in the name of Jesus. Because she said, at my name every knee shall bow. I know the word is true, but I ain't seeing no knees bow but mine. Keep you on your knees praying. Mr. Parker, can you sit down? He all over the place. Either him, Sean's sitting today, and Greg all over the place. That's a necessary roughness, Greg. I'm close. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That's Jesus talking. Man. My goodness. You know I was heavy, but he wouldn't say, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. Just a thought of what he had been dealing with. Felt like it was unnecessary. Lord, just send me to the earth, kill me, resurrect me. But no, I got to put up with these haters, with these pretenders, with these scoffers. I got to deal with them for 3.5 years. We've probably been dealing with folks a lot longer. But guess what? We're still here. How's Sister Georgia doing, Louise? She's out of the hospital. Okay. Amen. I went to see her. She was hilarious. Oh, yeah. But whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have what?
Hope.
So when things seem to be unnecessarily what? Rough. It's happening for some reason for our good. Because when we get through it, we will never be the same again. We'll be stronger. We'll have more wisdom. We'll be more knowledgeable. Because unfortunately, even though we say it's unnecessary roughness, we find a way to get through it.
Right.
What's the old saying? It ain't scriptural. It says, when the rough get going, the tough get tougher or something. I don't know. I heard about 5 different renditions of it just a minute ago. So whichever one sounds the best, y'all hold on to it. How's it going? Oh, not you, Russ, not you. You got it for real? Okay, say it.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Thank you. I heard it firstly. I just want to see it rustle. Sometimes dealing with Russell is unnecessary roughness. Amen. But I love it. Everybody stand here.
All right, what else?